What a wonderful message in that hymn, which goes right along with our message this morning. And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 with me this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, as we continue our walk down this hall of faith, and we look at these individuals that are brought before our attention as examples of those who believed at all costs in the promise of God. And even against insurmountable and very difficult odds, these individuals continued to have faith that God could and God would do that which He had promised. Now, last week we looked at the example of Moses' parents in verse number 23 of Hebrews chapter 11, and how Amram and Jochebed were used by God to preserve the life of their son, and of course how they believed the promise of God, and they were not afraid. They didn't give in to the fear that was all around them that said, you have to do what the king has said or else. But they didn't give in to that fear. They continued to walk in faith, and certainly their faith had an impact and effect on the life of their son Moses, who we know is one of the great heroes of the Hebrew nation, one of those who in this book, which is addressed to those Jewish believers, is addressed to their heritage and saying, hey, there were people in your past who had faith in the promises of God, and God used them greatly because of their faith, because they believed that God could and God would keep His promises. But I want you to see this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, the choice of faith. Because the faith of Moses' parents was not sufficient to carry Moses through. There came a time in Moses' life when he had to make a decision for himself what he would believe. You know, this is true in every person's life who is here this morning. There's a place, and it's a wonderful thing when you have parents who raise children to love the Lord and they raise them around the things of God. But ultimately, there comes a time, there comes a season, there comes a moment of decision, if you will, in every individual's life where they must decide for themselves, what do I believe? Where is my faith going to be placed? What am I going to live for with my life? In Moses' life, it wasn't good enough for him to say, well, Amram and Jochebed believe, but rather he had to come to a place in his life where by faith he chose to follow God. Amen. Direct your attention to verse number 24, where the author of Hebrews says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now we see in Moses' life this choice that he made, which is enumerated in these three verses, had a profound effect on his life as well as on the future of the nation of Israel. Because of this choice in Moses' life, many things then began to happen, both in his life as well as in the nation. And God, of course, used this decision of faith on Moses' part to provide for a way, eventually, for the children of Israel to be taken out of the land of Egypt. But perhaps so we can get a little bit of context and understand what is happening in these three verses, it's important for us to refresh our memory about what happened in Moses' life. You remember how when he was born, his parents hid him and they preserved him for 3 months, presumably in their home, against the commandment of the king. Because the king had said, all male children that are born to the Hebrews are to be killed. Their lives are to be taken. They are to be aborted. But instead, they preserved his life. They hid him. And you remember how the story goes in the book of Exodus, that after that 3 months, it became very difficult to hide him. So his mother took a bunch of reeds, if you will, and she wove them into a basket, she pitched it, and she placed that basket with that little baby on the edge of the Nile River in this area that was surrounded with bulrushes. Now, some of you moms, can you even think about doing that? You think about the confidence that she must have had that God was going to preserve the life of her child. And you remember how she said to Miriam, Moses' older sister, "Now you stay off there to the side and you watch and you pay attention and just make sure nothing happens to the baby." Well, of course, as coincidence would have it, or should we say as the sovereignty of God worked it out, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to the river to wash. And as she was there, it was brought to her attention that here's this basket. And they open the basket and they look inside and, oh, here's a baby. And her heart was moved, and she decided that she was going to take this baby and raise this child as her own son. Who would have thought such a thing could happen? Of course, Miriam, who was watching off to the side, came running up and said, "Well, would you like a Hebrew nurse to take care of this child and to raise him?" And the Pharaoh's daughter said, "Well, yes, that would be wonderful if he could be raised and taken care of until such a time as he could come to my home." And so Miriam said, "Well, I have just the person in mind," and ran and got Moses' mother, who then was given the privilege of nursing her child and raising her child until he became old enough. And I believe she instilled in him many principles about God and how to worship God and what it means to be a follower of God, even during those formative years. But then the time came in Moses' life when he was old enough. And when Pharaoh's daughter said, "All right, I would like my son that I've adopted." And so he came to her house. Now think about this for a moment. The Hebrews were slaves. They were living in bondage in the place where the Pharaoh was ruling over everything about their life, the toil, the difficulty, the poverty that they were facing. And literally Moses went from that poverty to the wealthiest home in the nation. He had at his disposal every privilege, every luxury, everything that he could possibly want, he had in that home. It was given to him. I believe that Moses was likely given a fine education in the ways of the world, in the sense that he was taught all the ways of the world there in the court of Egypt. Moses was raised in this place. But now we find in verse number 24 that there came a time in Moses' life where he was forced to make a choice. The world or the word. Either the flesh or those things which are spiritual. Either that which is carnal or Christ. We see the choice that he was brought, that he was confronted with. And this morning I want to speak to you about that choice because it really helps us as we think about the world that we're living in and the choices that we ourselves have to make, the choices that we need to help our children with as they're making choices, as they're maturing and growing. And so we see Moses in verse 24, when he was come to years, and the phrase that is used there, come to years, has the idea that he came to maturity. He came to the point where he was no longer just doing what everybody told him, but now he was going to make a decision for himself. He was going to be accountable for that decision before God. He came to a place where he had to decide whether he was going to have God's ways or Egypt's ways. And what a choice he made. Notice, first of all, the refusal of Moses. And it says there in verse 24, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, can you imagine what this must have been like for Moses to make the conscious choice to refuse what the world was offering to him? And what I want you to grab a hold of here is this thought, that faith is not always a positive attribute. Do you understand what I mean by that? Let me say it again. Faith is not always a positive attribute. Sometimes faith causes us to refuse some things. That in our modern day parlance, and in the way that we speak about faith in our culture and in our society, most people think of faith as some kind of, just believe it and good things will happen. Just believe it and you'll feel wonderful. Just believe it and birds will sing and angels will flitter around your head and the lights will come on and life will just be wonderful. Except that's not biblical faith. Actually, what happens is sometimes when we believe God, we're going to refuse some good things seemingly in our life. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was not going to be associated in that way. And I believe in this case, there are three things at least that Moses refused. First of all, and we see it primarily here in verse 24, he refused the honor of the world. The world was offering him the opportunity to be somebody. Some scholars believe that as the son, the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, there was a possibility that Moses would be the next one in line to be the Pharaoh. Now, I can't prove that categorically from the scriptures, but I do believe that had he not been the Pharaoh, at least as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he would have been someone important. He would have been someone that would have had prestige, that would have had honor, someone that all of society would have looked up to and said, oh, there goes Moses, there goes someone who is a part of the family of Pharaoh. But he said this, I refuse. I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, as we consider this thought that he refused the honor of the world, I wonder if you think like I do about how Satan must have tempted Moses and how he must have played in his mind this story. I mean, after all, Moses, your ancestor, Joseph, God put him in a place of authority, second in command in the Egyptian government, and God used him to give deliverance to his family and to provide for them during that time of crisis. I mean, come on, Moses. Maybe this honor that is being bestowed upon you, that the world is offering to you, maybe this will give you an opportunity to have your people taken out of slavery. Wouldn't you be tempted to think that way? Wouldn't you be thinking about all the ways God could use it if you could just step through? I mean, we would look at this and we would say, this is an open door. This is an opportunity. But understand this with me this morning. Not every opportunity is from God. There are opportunities that exist which will lead you through a door and right out of the will of God.
Right.
Somehow, in Moses' mind, he knew clearly that this was not an opportunity to serve God, but this was a choice between the honor of God or the honor of the world. And he turned it down flat. He said, I am not going to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, in verse number 15, 16, and 17, that we ought not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Then there are three things that are categorized as the world or the world system: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What Moses was turning down, as enumerated in verse 24, was the pride of life. It was the prestige, the honor that comes from the world. Do you know, those of you who are children of God, you are going to have to refuse the honor of the world. If we go around as Christians trying to get the honor of the world, the approval of the world, we're going to end up violating our principles. And here he ended in this place. He said, I can't do this. I cannot serve God. I cannot have God's honor and have the honor of the world at the same time. There's a second thing, though, that he refused. It says in verse 25 that he was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So not only did he refuse the honor of the world, but he refused the pleasures of the world. You know, we live in a pleasure-saturated society. Our world is all about how to keep people happy, how to really make them pleased with life. And so people are living with this sense of, as long as I can have the things that I want, then I can be happy and I can die happy and everything is good. Now, you think about the land of Egypt. It was a place that offered many pleasures. It was clear that if Moses were to take the offer to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, accompanying the honor of that position would also come any pleasure that he desired. Whatever his heart desired, whether it was women or wine or some other such thing, Moses could literally have had anything that he wanted. But Moses understood something, and it says it here in the passage, that the pleasures of sin last for a season. Now, I want you to understand this morning that the pleasures of sin are very real. They do appeal to our flesh. And as we look at the world around us, and we don't even have to look that far, do we? We can look right in our own heart and understand that there is that draw of the lust of the flesh, the things that we look at and we say, well, that would please me. I want to go after that. The world is full of that sort of a thing, but it only lasts for a season. It's a very short season, I might add. But Moses decided, you know what? I'm going to refuse the pleasures of the world. It was clear that these pleasures were not just benign. In other words, he wasn't just being offered a square of dark chocolate, right? Because that would be okay to eat a square of dark chocolate. That's a good pleasure. I'm getting worried about you folks this morning. That's okay. I mean, you can have a square of dark chocolate. I read the other day that you should eat a square of dark chocolate every day for your heart. That's what I read. I might try to live by that principle. I don't know. Clearly, we're not talking about benign pleasures. We're not talking about those things which God has provided for us, which He gives to us richly with His blessing. What we are speaking about, the pleasures of sin, are the pleasures that accompany rebellion against God's word and God's ways. Clearly, what we are talking about is that Moses was confronted with a choice. I can either serve God or I can serve myself. I can either go after my flesh or I can go after the things of the Lord, but I cannot do both at the same time. And Jesus said something very similar to this. He said, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And of course, mammon is money. And we're going to talk about the treasures in just a moment, but understand that Moses refused the pleasures of the world. These are the lusts of the flesh that are described in 1 John 2:15, 16, and 17. But then third of all, we see that Moses also refused the treasures of the world. Not just the pleasures, the enjoyable time, the fun times, but he refused the treasure that the world was offering to him. In verse 26, it says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." You see, as a member of the royal family, Moses would have been a partaker of the significant treasures that had been accumulated by the Pharaoh. We know from history that during this time, the nation of Egypt was very powerful and very wealthy. And so Moses was turning down, literally, he was turning down a king's ransom that was being offered to him. It was said, hey, if you'll come our way, if you'll follow the ways of the world, we will make you wealthy beyond your wildest imaginations. Now, stop and think about that for just a moment. If you had a legitimate offer, where if you turned your back on the Bible, you stopped worshiping God publicly, you stopped calling yourself a Christian, in exchange, you could become a multi-billionaire. Now think about that for a moment. There are some of you who are sitting here who say, that would be a hard choice. That would be a difficult thing. Now, I hope that that's not the case, but the truth is, because of our heart and our fallen nature, there is a draw that is there. But Moses looked at the treasures of Egypt and he said, I'm not interested in the treasures of Egypt. There were literally storehouses of incredible wealth that were waiting for Moses to take if only he would agree to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But Moses said, no.
Amen.
No. I'm going to refuse. I'm going to choose something else altogether different. Because he said, I'm not going to go after the treasures in Egypt. Now, I mentioned to you that Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. It's impossible to serve money and God at the same time. And you do understand in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 that we are told the love of money is the root of all evil. And so because people desire the things of this world, they will do unspeakable things in order to gain the things of this world. Moses was brought to a confrontation to a decision in his life, and he said, no, I'm going to refuse. Now, what did he refuse? He refused honor. He refused pleasure. He refused treasures. He said, I'm turning my back on all of those things. Wow. Wow. Can you imagine how difficult this decision must have been in his life? As he looked and he said, I'm not going to accept these things. I'm not going to take these things that are being offered to me. Now, your thought and my thought would be, for him to turn his back on honor, pleasure, and treasure, there must have been an incredible payoff. I mean, somebody must have been making him some kind of an offer. There must have been something that was so magnificent that he would be willing to say, no, I'm not going to take that. I'm going to pursue after this instead. So this would be like if I had a $100 bill in this hand, and I don't, but if I did, I hold it up and say, you can have a $100 bill, or if you wait 10 years, I will give you a house that's worth $300,000. What would you choose? Now, some of the kids who are here would say, I'll take that $100 bill right now. But some of you older ones, if you thought I was serious, you would be saying, it'd be better to wait 10 years, wouldn't it? It'd be better to wait and get that that's worth $300,000. Now, we're going to talk about this in a moment. What was it that Moses got in exchange? Well, the word that is used in verse 26 is the word reproach. Reproach. So we've considered his refusal, but think about his reproach. What was it that Moses decided he would take instead of the honor, instead of the treasures and the pleasure that the world was offering to him? Instead of those things, he said, I would rather suffer reproach. I would rather suffer with the people of God. I would rather be afflicted. Now notice in verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. The word affliction speaks about ill treatment and persecutions. So if you can picture this in your mind, Moses willingly made a choice to go from the place where he was in charge. He could ask for anything and he would get it. He was taken care of by servants and going from that to being the servant. He said, I would rather suffer affliction than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Do you see how upside down this thinking is? And all the world around him must have been thinking, all the Egyptians, Moses, what are you doing? Moses, this is your big opportunity. Moses, I mean, you've struck it big. This is your chance. This is what you've been waiting for. The applause of the world, the pleasures that you want, all the treasure, more than you could count. All of this is waiting for you, Moses. And what you're choosing is to suffer affliction. You want to be persecuted. You want to be treated like a slave. You want to cast your lot with those who are our servants. Moses, what are you doing? You know, if you decide to live for God in this world, there'll be a lot of people who will say exactly that. What are you doing? What is wrong with you? You've gone completely insane. I mean, you're going after the things of the Lord in that way, but look at all that you're turning your back on. Moses chose to be reproached. I want you to understand, and we need to settle this in our mind. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We need to settle this in our mind. That in this world, the inheritance of God's people is persecution. That is what we should expect. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 11. Let's back up to verse number 10. Matthew 5 and verse 10, Jesus said this, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now consider the words of Jesus for just a moment. And think about the last time that someone uttered a cross word at you for speaking to them about Christ. Did you have a party? Did you rejoice? Did you walk away from that saying, "Praise the Lord, I have been persecuted for righteousness' sake. What a marvelous day. Yip, hip, hooray. I have finally been persecuted. I am blessed. What a wonderful treasure and reward that I have." Is that how you responded? You probably walked away thinking, "That's not fair. I'm an American. I ought to be able to say whatever I want to people. I don't understand why people are getting so upset. I care about them. I love them. I don't get the... Please pray for me. I've been persecuted. Pray for me because I need to be delivered from people who are saying bad things about me for preaching Christ." That's how we act, isn't it? We don't rejoice. We don't consider it blessing. But look what Moses chose. Moses chose to be afflicted. He chose to put himself in the place of those servants who were being afflicted, who were being harmed, who were being crushed under. He took gladly the reproach that came from being named with the people of God. But then we see also in verse 26 that he esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, just a second. Reproach. Reproach is disgrace and shame. Disgrace or shame. Do you see what it says? He esteemed, he counted, he decided that what was more worthwhile was to be a shame or a disgrace than to have a lot of treasure from Egypt. All right, now I'm not sure that you all are following the passage. Feel the weight of this for a minute. You can be wealthy, you can be rich, you can have lots of money, or you can be regarded as a shame and a disgrace. Everybody who sees you is going to look and go like, "Look at them. Ha! What a fool. What an idiot. Do you know what they did? Do you know what they turned their back on?" This is what Moses decided. He said, "I would rather have the reproach of Christ than the riches of the world." His reproach. But now notice this. In verse 26, the reproach of who? Wait a second. Moses and this experience, which is detailed for us, predates the writing of the first five books of the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? It predates the incarnation of Christ. It predates David, and it predates all of these other great men of faith who saw God work. How could he esteem the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of the world unless he actually knew something about the Messiah? How did he know this? Because I'm telling you, God had already revealed himself. God had already spoken to these people. He had already told them that there would be redemption from their sin. These people believed, including Moses, they believed the Messiah, the Christ, was going to come through their nation, through their people. And Moses said this, "I would rather be identified with the people who are a part of Christ coming to this world than I would to be the king or the ruler over a nation. I would rather have Christ than I would have these riches and these treasures." Now think about this for a moment. And it's easy to say, "Way to go, Moses. Praise the Lord. That's wonderfully inspiring." It's totally different when you're making this choice, isn't it? When you're deciding between the treasures of the world or the reproach of Christ, what do you decide? You see, in Moses' life, he turned his back on all that the world was offering him, and he took reproach. Now you say, well, maybe it happened gradually, accidentally. Maybe he didn't know what he was getting into. Did you ever think that? In your life, sometimes it's easier to deal with stuff if you just don't know what you're getting into. You make the decision, and there you are in the middle of it. Well, I made the decision, so I'll live with it. But Moses understood. Because the Bible says, it uses the word esteeming, which is the same idea of what you do when you balance your checkbook. So he took all the credits and all the debits and he lined them up and he said, I'm choosing the reproach of Christ over the riches of this world. Wow. Wow. What an example of faith. But now we ask ourselves the question, why? Why would Moses do such a thing? What was it that motivated him to bear the reproach of Christ, to, as the author of Hebrews says in chapter 13, to go unto Christ outside the camp, without the camp, bearing his reproach? How could Moses do such a thing? Why? What would motivate him to do such a thing? Because clearly in our lives, we look at what the world offers and we think, well, you know, if I could have what the world offers and what God offers at the same time, I'd be happy. Right? Isn't that how we really think? If I could have fame, if I could have riches, if I could have the pleasures, as much pleasures as I want, and have the Lord, that'd be great. That'd be wonderful. Except it doesn't work that way. And so I want you to notice, third of all this morning, his reward. Oh, there was a reward that Moses had his eyes on. See, it wasn't some kind of a glutton for punishment. It wasn't that Moses was a sadistic, twisted individual who was hoping to get beaten up and hoping to suffer and then go, look at how much I suffered. Isn't that awesome? Now, that wasn't what Moses was after. There was a reward that Moses was after. He turned his back on one reward because there was another reward that he regarded as much more important. Moses, in other words, did not choose reproach for the sake of reproach. He chose reproach because that was what came with knowing God. And he wanted to know God. He wanted to walk with God. He wanted to fellowship with God. And did he? Oh, the Bible says that Moses talked with God face to face as a man talks to his friend. What a privilege. What an honor in that generation. Moses chose reproach because he had a greater reward in mind. There was something that he had his eye on. You know, you and I can identify with this. We can endure almost anything if we know there is an end and there is something better on the other end. And so we think, you know, I can endure a lot of things if I know that this is a season. This reproach, this suffering, this affliction is a season, but there's something beyond that that is much better than this. And that's what was true in Moses' life. The Bible says, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The word respect means to intently regard. It means to set your focus on something. It means to zero in on something to the exclusion of a lot of other things around you. It's like a runner who is trying to complete a race, who sees the finish line, and as much as his body hurts, as much as he realizes that he's getting tired and he's running out of steam and he's not sure if he has enough energy, he sees the finish line, he marks the finish line, and every step is, I'm one step closer. I'm going to make the finish line. I'm going to make it to the end, until he crosses that finish line and he's done. And this is Moses. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses was willing to endure affliction and reproach because he saw the greater reward that God was offering to him. From Moses, we learn that a person of faith must continually make a choice to believe that God's reward is better. God's reward trumps the reward of the world. Often, in your life and in mine, we are going to be tempted to accept the glittering, appealing promises of the world as a cheap substitute for the reward of God. We will be offered honor. We will be offered riches. We will be offered pleasures. And the world will say, just take this. Just take this. Hey, this will fill you up. This will satisfy you. This will fill your longings. And God says, don't take the bait. The reward of God is better. And in so many areas, practically speaking, we could talk about this. We could talk about how God has designed human beings, how God has created us in His image, how He's put all of these different things into our life, which can bring great reward and great treasure and great pleasure. But the world tries to find the shortcut. The world tries to find the cheap substitute. They try to get it fast. And God says, no, you have to follow my way. But in no other area is this more true than in the area of being right with God for all of eternity. Because, listen, here's what God says. He says, Jesus died in your place. He took your place as your sin substitute. He took all the punishment for your sins upon Himself. He willingly endured it all. He died. He was buried. He rose again from the dead 3 days later to show that He was triumphant over death and hell and the power of Him that kills. He had power over death. And God says this to you, repent, turn from your sin, believe the gospel, and you can be saved. And the world says to you, that's not going to work. You have to be religious. I mean, if you repent, then how are you going to have fun in life? If you repent, then your life is going to be it's going to be no fun at all. It's going to be sawdust. If you repent, God's trying to take away your fun. So don't worry about repenting. Don't worry about believing the gospel. Just, you know, go to church once in a while. Do some good things. Surely it's all going to weigh out in the end. That way you can enjoy your life and you can please God too. Except that's unbiblical and is the philosophy that will send many, many, many multitudes of people to the lake of fire for all of eternity. You see, Moses understood, I can't have the treasures of the world, the pleasures of the world, the honor of the world, and have God at the same time. I suggest to you this morning that the reward is more than that which God gives to us. It is God Himself. It is fellowship with God. It is relationship with God. It is life that God brings through His very person into our life. Amen. But Moses understood this. I need to have respect unto the recompense of the reward. God will not neglect His promises. You can be sure this morning that if you follow Him by faith, if you believe that His promises of eternal reward are true, you will experience the recompense of the reward. Now, the hard thing is this saying that we have in our culture that goes like this: a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. And there are some ways in which that is true, but spiritually speaking, that is not true. And there are many people who are trading pleasure, treasure, and honor in this world for eternity in the lake of fire. They're saying, well, I'll take my chances on eternity. I'll be glad to deal with that. You know, that's way off in the future. I'm having too much fun right now. And they gladly swap those two. And how foolish. How foolish this is. How ignorant it is to compromise your eternal destiny so that you can have a little bit of pleasure right now. And by the way, even the pleasure that people are having right now, the pleasure itself is often so destructive and ends in such heartache. And, oh, it's pleasure for a little while, but then just a couple weeks or maybe a year or 2 years later, there's all this heartache, there's all this problem, there's all this difficulty, there's all this burden, this trial, this brokenness that comes from indulging in that pleasure. And God says all the while, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You just think about that for a while. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You say, what was the reward that Moses enjoyed? Well, in this life, not so great. Actually, not great at all. See, Moses traded in his credentials, his claim to royalty, the honor, the treasure, the pleasure that came along with that. He traded it all in. And shortly after that, he became a fugitive, didn't he? Because he tried to stand up and defend one of his brothers who was being abused, and we're not going to argue about whether he was right in doing that or the timing and all that sort of thing, how he handled that. He ended up taking a man's life. And because of that, Moses had to flee from Egypt. He ended up on the backside of the desert keeping sheep for 40 years. Keeping sheep for 40 years. So he went from being in the lap of luxury to living in the desert taking care of sheep for 40 years. And you say, what was that all about? I think it was God humbling him. God preparing him. Oh, good, so he's going to get his reward. Yes, he's going to get his reward. So he comes back to the land of Egypt and he says to those people, God has called me to lead you out to be your leader. And they said, who are you? And why are you saying this to us? They were rebels. They didn't want to follow Moses. God had to prepare their hearts eventually to be ready to follow Moses. Then he got them in the wilderness and all they did was gripe. They got out in the wilderness a few days and they said, Moses, you've destroyed our life. You took us out of Egypt where we had such wonderful pleasure and you brought us into the wilderness to die. And there were times during that season when Moses was leading the nation of Israel where he came to God and he said, God, I don't know what to do with these people. Would you just get rid of them? And then sometimes God would say, Moses, I'm going to get rid of those people. And Moses said, no, God, you can't get rid of them. For the glory of your name, you have to be faithful to your promises. And some have said, if Moses and God ever got together, the children of Israel would have been goners for sure. You know, the truth is, God didn't change his mind in that, but he was testing Moses. He was testing his resolve. You see, this reward of leading the nation of Israel was no reward at all. This was a burden. This was a blight. This was a problem for Moses. This was difficulty. This was pain and suffering. And here he is out in the wilderness. And you remember how the story went. Because of his disobedience to God, late in that season, he wasn't even allowed to go into the promised land. And Moses died. And you say, what was his reward? It doesn't seem like he gained much. It seems like he lost everything. His reward was his walk with God. His reward was reserved in heaven. What pleasures await him in heaven in the presence of God? And as he is even there now, fellowshipping with God, what a reward is laid up for him. But you see, for us, we have to get our eyes off of all that this world offers and look at the reward that God is placing before us. This morning, I ask you this question, how about you? I mean, Moses, he chose, he refused, he decided to esteem the reproach of Christ as far better, as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. But how about you? You call yourself a Christian? Have you been trying to get the best of both worlds? Have you been trying to live with one foot squarely in the world and one foot in the Word of God? You don't have to imagine too long to understand that you can't really live that way. Those two are going in diametrically opposite directions. They're 180 degrees from each other. It's impossible to live in that way. The truth is, you're going to have to choose. Maybe some of you are here this morning and you've been trying to live for the flesh now and hoping to gain the reward of God later. Hoping that somehow it'll all work out in the end. Hoping that God will accept your good works as sufficient payment and he'll let you into heaven. Newsflash, he's not going to let you into heaven if you don't belong to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have not repented and believed the gospel, heaven is not in your future. But now there are, I know most folks who are here this morning, you say, well, Pastor, I've been saved and I've trusted in Christ and I've been born again. And I ask you, how's it going? How's it going? Are you choosing the world, the flesh, or are you choosing the promises of God? Are you content with reproach and affliction and suffering with a view of the reward that God has in store? Is that sufficient? What if your lot in life, what if God says for you, you'll suffer with physical problems, you'll be reproached by your family, you'll have no financial gain, you'll barely survive. Is that sufficient? Are you content with that? Or do you need something more to be happy with God? You see what I'm saying? You have your eye on the wrong reward.
Amen.
This morning, what is your choice? Will it be Christ and His reproach? Or will it be the world and its honor, its pleasures, and its treasure? What do you need to refuse this morning in order to serve Christ in the way that you ought to serve Christ? With that thought in your mind, let's all stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one is looking around this morning. It could be that God has spoken to your heart this morning through the example of Moses. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If you want to talk to the Lord here at the front, you can come and kneel at this altar and talk to the Lord. If you want to talk to Him there in your seat, you're welcome to do that. If you need some help from the Scriptures, we would be glad to help you. If you'll come and let us know, we could have someone take an open Bible and answer your questions this morning. But how about you? What is the choice that you are making? And this choice is not just a one-time choice. This is a choice that is we are confronted with time and time again. After we pray in just a moment, the musicians are going to play the hymn, "Is Your All on the Altar of Sacrifice Laid?" And if God has spoken to your heart, we urge you to come and do business with Him. Heavenly Father, would you help us to live like Moses? Certainly, he faced real temptation. He was pulled by the things of this world. But he made a great choice to put you first, to seek your pleasure, to seek your honor, to seek the treasures that you promised to him. I pray that you would help us as a people, as a church family, to resolve in our hearts and to make the same choice. Have your will and your way in this time of invitation. May Christ be glorified and lifted up in this place. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. The piano and the organ are going to play the invitation.